Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we continue our journey through Mark 12. There's a lot in this chapter, and therefore this program is going to just reflect on verses 35 to the end of the chapter. The first few verses, 35 to 37, are just a little reflection on David. Now, of course, Jesus was well aware of David and honoured David, and, of course, the Jews very much honoured David. But Jesus is, I believe, gently but clearly indicating that David has his place, but he wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't the answer. Now, he did a lot of good things. He obeyed God in so many ways. We know the scriptures make it clear that there were some big disappointments as well. But essentially, David was honoured because he united the tribes and they had more land under David than anybody. He was very, very successful. But what Jesus is wanting them to understand is that the Messiah, the Christ, the Deliverer, the one who would come, was greater than David. And therefore, when he says David himself calls him Lord, how then can he be his son? So it's not knocking David, it's not sort of being derogatory in any sense, but it's really just making them think about the fact that the Messiah is very special, maybe David-like, but more than David. He then goes to just have a word about hypocrisy, which was rampant. The teachers of the law walking around their flowing robes and greeting people, having the most important seats in the synagogue, wanted the top seat at the banquets, taking advantage of widows and lengthy prayers. And Jesus says, this is going to be punished most severely. He says, you don't know what's coming to you. You parading in all this arrogance and pride, but God sees through it. He sees your heart and sees how far you are from him. And then he's sitting down and he's actually observing the offering. And people are coming and they're placing their offerings, and some people are being very ostentatious. They're throwing in large amounts, and they're probably, some of them are very much wanting people to see how generous and how big their gift is. But Jesus notices a poor widow, and she puts in two small copper coins, which are worth very, very little, hard to measure what they're worth. And he says to the disciples, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Interesting that when the build-up is growing with intensity towards Jesus having the Last Supper with the disciples, Gethsemane, going to the cross, but Jesus pauses, as it were, to honour a little old lady who is just going to give everything. And he's saying, this is what honours God. The Pharisees, they don't honour God, not with all their ostentatious pomp and display, showing off. That doesn't please God. But to give that which costs you, that which is sacrificial, that honours God. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus is going to do when he goes to the cross. We must pause. We're going to have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me and we'll reflect a little more on these remaining verses from Mark chapter 12.
I surrender to everything you are, and I will lay down things that I desire, and I will offer a living sacrifice to you. Lord, take all of me and give me all of you. Lord, take all of me and give me all of you. And I surrender everything you are, and I will lay down the things that I desire, and I will offer a living sacrifice to you. Lord, take all of me and give me all of you. Take all of me and give me all of you. Lord, take all of me and give me all of you. Lord, take all of me.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at these verses from Mark chapter 12, and it's verses 35 to 44. So we start then, Richard, with this kind of theological tussle, really, in our minds, perhaps harder for us to understand than for the people at the time. They knew what Jesus was talking about, didn't they?
Well, I think they did, but I believe that essentially, sometimes in honouring a person's contribution to the kingdom of God, one can get so caught up in the person that you miss the wider thing that's going on. And my hunch is that these were not quite David worshippers, but they certainly were honouring him more than having a glimpse of what he was really all about, pointing to the Messiah.
Mm. Because, you know, for the Jews of the time, and I guess so today, their ancestors are important, and they revere these people who were really key figures in the Old Testament.
Well, certainly. I mean, Abraham would also fall into that category, Moses. But we humbly understand that these people were instruments in God's purposes, and that they were forerunners. They were pointing to the Messiah, to Jesus. And I guess deep down, some of them must have thought there's a bit more to it than this. and Jesus is giving them that bit more.
What I find is interesting is that at the end of this little incident, in verse 37, it says, "The large crowd listened to him with delight." So the crowd saw something in what he was saying that they thought was great, delighted them.
Yes, I think that's right. I think that clearly listening to Jesus was so different to the Pharisees.
Mm.
I mean, they knew the book, but they didn't know God.
Yeah.
And that just became so obvious the more they listened to Jesus. He knew the Father. He knew God. He was God. He is God.
And then he goes on and raises this issue of really the hypocrisy of the leaders of the people at the time, the things they used to do. But actually, let's face it, hypocrisy has also been in the church ever since. You know, if you look back over church history over the last 2,000 years, you know, you do see a fair bit of hypocrisy. And today, it's very easy to fall prey to hypocrisy, isn't it? How can we guard against it?
Well, I think that it's probably primarily by keeping a clear picture of who Jesus is. Because when we see who he is, it's very easy to recognize how much we fall short. But if we haven't got a clear view of Jesus, we can get a distorted view of who we are. And of course, that's what's happening here. They don't really understand that the one who's teaching and talking to them is none other than God himself. And they're going to eventually have to wake up to that, as we all will.
And this last little incident then, known as the widow's mite, a very well-known little incident in the New Testament, it says something about attitude, doesn't it? About what our attitude should be to what we give.
Yes, it does. I think it's a very important comment about money, because when these people were giving and it didn't cost them anything, it was almost like a bribe. It was almost a kind of, God, you've got to be pleased with me. Look at what I've given. But this widow, I mean, there's no sense of that at all. She's gotten virtually nothing.
Mm.
But she still wants to play her part in giving. And God is so pleased with that.
Okay. Well, there we are. We've reached the end of Mark chapter 12. So, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at Mark's Gospel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.